ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
विचार पदस 5-9 चैप्टर 13
ऋषिभिर्बहुधा गीतम् छन्दोभिर्विविधैर्पृथक् ब्रह्मसूत्रपदैश्चैव हेतुमद्भिर्विनिश्चितैः ऋषिभिर्बहुधा गीतम् छन्दोभिर्विविधैः पृथक् ब्रह्मसूत्रपदैश्चैव हेतुमद्भिर्विनिश्चितैः महाभूतान्यहङ्कारः बुद्धिरव्यक्तमेव च इन्द्रियाणि दशैकं च पञ्चचेन्द्रियगोचरा महाभूतान्यहङ्कारः बुद्धिरव्यक्तमेव च इन्द्रियाणि दशैकं च पञ्चचेन्द्रियगोचरा इच्छाद्वेषसुखं दुःखं सङ्घातश्चेतनाधृतिः एतत्क्षेत्रं समासेन सविकारमुदाहृतम् इच्छाद्वेषसुखं दुःखं सङ्घातश्चेतनाधृतिः एतत्क्षेत्रं समासेन सविकारमुदाहृतम् अमानित्वमदम्बित्वम् अहिंसाक्षान्तिरार्जवम् आचार्योपासनं शौचम् स्थैर्यमात्मविनिग्रहः अमानित्वमदम्बित्वम् अहिंसाक्षान्तिरार्जवम् आचार्योपासनं शौचम् स्थैर्यमात्मविनिग्रहः। इन्द्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् अनहङ्कार एव च जन्ममृत्युजराव्याधि दुःखदोषानुदर्शनं इन्द्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् अनहङ्कार एव च जन्ममृत्युजराव्याधि दुःखदोषानुदर्शनम्।
Last week we completed up to 4, isn't it?
The beginning of the chapter, Arjuna asks a question. Prakriti, matter, Purusha, spirit, also Kshetra, field and Kshetranya, more of the field, and also knowledge and that which are to be known, these I wish to learn, O Keshava. So, in the beginning, Shri Krishna starts answering first Kshetra and Kshetranya. Prakriti and Purusha he answers much later. So, he first says, this body,
Om Kamti, yeah.
In this we said this body includes causal body, subtle body and the gross body. So the causal, subtle and gross body, O Kamteya, is called Kshetra, the field. He who knows this is called Kshetrajna, knower of the field, by who? By those who know of that. So in this context we said, you, the Atma, the real self, is the Kshetrajna, the knower of the field, that which is apart from all this, and enters this as it were and plays about. So when you gain this knowledge, what he says is, idam shariram kaunteya kshetra mitya vidhiyate. This is kshetra. I am the kshetrajna, entering and playing. Then whatever happens to kshetra will not happen to you. They will not affect you. Life will then become a game. So now there is only one kshetrajna, but kshetra that many. So he said that in verse 3. Kshetrajnam chapi maam vidhi sarva kshetreshu. Bharata kshetra kshetrajna yo jnanam yatta jnanam matam mama. He says, in my opinion, this is the true knowledge. Everything else is not considered by him as knowledge. What is knowledge? The one who knows the difference between kshetra and kshetrajna and identifies with kshetra. If you know the entire Bhagavad Gita, doesn't mean you know, you have knowledge. He says, O Bharata, also know me as the kshetrajna, knower in all the fields, in various bodies. Only one kshetrajna is playing. When one kshetrajna plays in various kshetra, it appears as if there are different kshetrajnas. So he says, kshetrajnam chapi maam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. In all kshetras, I am the only kshetrajna. The knowledge of kshetra and kshetrajna, that is considered by me to be knowledge. So Arjuna asks, what is knowledge? He says, if you know the difference between kshetra and kshetrajna, he is not talking about intellectual knowing. But having known the difference, identifying with kshetrajna and functioning, then you are considered to be a knowledgeable person. So he says, what the kshetrajna field is, what it is like, what are its modifications, and whence it is, and also what he is, what his power is, that hear from me in brief. So he says, now I am going to talk to you about this in little more detail. What is kshetra, what it is like, what are the modifications, and whence it is, from where, and also what he is and his power, meaning kshetrajna. What is kshetrajna? What is the power of kshetrajna? So when you understand the power of kshetrajna, you understand your true power. But without this knowledge, now you have fallen. So let's continue. Verse number 5. Rishibhir bahudha gītam Chando vir vividhai pṛta Brahma-sūtra-padai-śaiva Hetumat-bhir-vi-niṣṭitaihi Rishibhir bahudha gītam Chando vir vividhai pṛta Brahma-sūtra-padai-śaiva Hetumat-bhir-vi-niṣṭitaihi Sung by sages in many ways, in various hymns, as also in distinctive precepts indicating Brahman, full of reason and certainty. So when he said, I will talk to you about Kshetra and Kshetrajna in detail. He says now, this is actually sung by sages, what I am going to tell you now. In a sense, see, whenever the ego is lost, it is put in a poetic form. It's not in prose form. But it has a lot of reason and logic. That's what he's trying to say. Sung by sages. Sung by sages means these are mantras received from the divinity from within when they dissolve the ego. And these sages who received the mantras, they gave it to this world which was full of reason and certainty. So it's nothing but logic and as well as
something that appeals to the heart. It appeals to both the head and heart. So what I will talk to you now will inspire you at the head level as well as at the heart level. So sung by sages in many ways. In various hymns, as also in distinctive precepts, indicating what? That Brahman. Because Brahman cannot be defined. Can only be indicated. So indicating that Brahman. But while indicating, they are not just like that giving you for you to believe. They support what they say with lot of reason and logic. So this is the inner science which I will explain to you now.
Mahabhutanyahankarah, Mahabhutanyahankarah, Buddhiravyaktamevacha, Buddhiravyaktamevacha, Indriyani dashaikamcha, Indriyani dashaikamcha, Panchachendriya gochara, Panchachendriya gochara, Mahabhutanyahankarah, Buddhiravyaktamevacha, Indriyani dashaikamcha, Panchachendriya gochara.
The Mahabhutas, the great elements, the five elements, Bhumi, Apa, Anala, Kam, Vayu, all these five elements, earth, water, fire, air and space, they are all what?
Kshetra.
The great elements, the Mahabhutas, they themselves are Kshetra. And your ego, your body is what? Your body is nothing but
ego.
Panchabhutas. Everybody's body is made up of these panchabhutas.
Yes.
And when these panchabhutas are enlivened by the kshetrajna atma as it were, you now have got this ego. That I am Shweta. That is why happy birthday comes. If Shweta is not there, no happy birthday and no sokar. Right? So the ego. I'm just going by the... It so happens that this word comes immediately. So I thought I'll say that. So what is this ego? This ego is nothing but kshetrajna playing in this form. And now that little portion of consciousness, which is as it were trapped in this five bhutas, is now what this ego saying, I am individual. Avantika, Shweta, Lakshmi Narayan, as an individual, you understand? So that ego is also Kshetra only. That is also not Kshetra.
Okay.
I told you before, somebody defines ego as what? Edging God out.
Edging God out.
Edging God out. Somewhere I read this. When you edge the God out, then you become Madhu, Shweta, Lakshmi Narayan, all this. Moment you see yourself as that inner self, divinity, then where is ego? And ego is there, God is not there. God is there, ego is not there. So edging God out is ego. So intellect, buddhi, buddhi is also kshetra. It has no life, it has no intelligence. It is a consciousness that functioning through this buddhi seems to be projecting itself as intelligence. So he says, the great elements, the ego, the buddhi, the intellect, and also the unmanifest. What is the unmanifest here? What is manifest and what is not manifest? Desires are manifest. Thoughts are manifest. But your vasanas are not manifest to you. The thoughts and desires come from your unmanifest vasanas only. You have vasanas to paint. From that, the thought to paint comes.
Desire and vasana is different.
Desire is manifested vasana. Vasana is unmanifested desire. So when he says here, avyakta, see remember, avyakta can mean that which is not contactable by the senses, mind and buddhi. What is vyakta? Vyakta means that which can be contacted by your senses, mind, buddhi. Now there are two things that cannot be captured by senses, mind and buddhi. What are the two things?
Consciousness.
Atma. Which is Kshetrajna.
Mm.
So, Kshetrajna cannot be
contacted by your senses, mind and buddhi. It is avyaktam. It is not vyakti for the these three equipments. Also, your vasanas cannot be contacted by your senses, mind and buddhi. So avyakta could mean atma, avyakta could mean vasanas. But here, what is the actually is talking about? Kshetra. Kshetrajna is consciousness. Mm-hmm. Then obviously the avyakta here is meant what? Vasana.
How is vasana not...
Vasana is the seed.
But it's the seed.
Yeah, it is the seed from which the very intellect comes out. Okay? Shweta, as intellect, is part of subtle body. Mm-hmm. Subtle body comes from what? The vasana, the karana sharira. The sukshma sharira comes from karana sharira. From sukshma sharira comes this stula sharira, this gross body. Are you with me? So the gross body and the subtle body, they are products of the vasana. How can the product intellect understand the producer vasana? It cannot. It can maximum project and say, that is why vasanas cannot be strictly speaking defined. You can maximum say it's a trait, a temperament. Right?
But consciousness will not have any vasana.
The moment buddhi becomes aware of your vasana, the vasana has become thought. When it becomes thought only, buddhi knows about it. The moment it is still remaining as vasana. When there is seed inside the ground, do you see it? When it sprouts, then you see. Isn't it? So then you can say there is a mango seed inside. But under the ground, what seed is there, do you know? Can you know? No. But when you pour little water and then slowly the seed germinates and the sapling comes out, there is a mango seed inside. Not papaya. Are you with me? So when we are all sleeping, everybody will look like, especially if you are sleeping in dhoti kurta, your you know, spiritual clothes, everybody will look like very spiritual. But when you wake up, extremely materialistic vasanas, extremely tamasic vasanas, all come out. So when vasanas manifest only, the buddhi comes to know. When it is still remaining in vasana form, buddhi doesn't know. So the avyakta is in this context kshetra. Remember this. So we have seen panchamaha bhuta, that is kshetra. Then ego, kshetra. Then buddhi, kshetra. Then vasana, the unmanifest, kshetra. Then the 10 senses, the 5 organs of perception and 5 organs of action. They are also kshetra. Right. Kshetra means matter, field. And the one here, ekam, refers to one mind. The mind, manas, is also kshetra. And the 5 objects of the senses. For each of the 5 organs of perception, there are 5 respective objects in the world outside. So all those are also kshetra. So how many is covered here? 5 elements, then ego, 6, buddhi, 7, vasana, 8, then 8 plus 10, 10 senses, 18, then 1 mind, 19, then 5 more objects of perception, 24 is covered here. All is 24 is what?
Kshetra.
Kshetra. Now, the kshetra, for example, the senses. The senses are able to perceive the sense objects only because kshetrajna is playing. It is due to the power of kshetrajna, the senses are seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So the real power that you as ego have is actually the power of kshetra. In fact, because of your ego, fully the kshetrajna's power is not tapped. When the ego dissolves, kshetrajna's power fully manifests. But whatever glory you see is actually the glory of Bhagavan. So he says, these 24 aspects he talks about here, all these 24 is nothing but kshetra. Now he continues the list a little more.
So will it be your vasanas which will, like today we are born in a certain house, in a certain country, certain woman, whatever. It is the vasanas which actually manifests you into that form because it needs completion or...
Yeah. It is the vasanas. So, verse 6, moving to the next verse, 7.
Chapter 13. Page
628. Ichcha dvesha sukham dukkham. Ichcha dvesha sukham dukkham. Sangatascheta nadritihi. Etat kshetram samasena. Savikaram udhavratam. Ichcha dvesha sukham dukkham. Sangatascheta nadritihi. Etat kshetram samasena. Savikaram udhavratam. Ichcha, the list is continuing now. Ichcha means desire. Vrandivasana, desire comes. And the desire is also kshetra only. And desire manifests and modifies further. There are various modifications of desire. Hatred. And if desire is not fulfilled, in fact, hatred is also another form of desire. What I desire and what I desire not. What I desire not is what? I desire not to have this. I desire to have this. So, desire, hatred, ichcha, dvesha. Then, sukham. The sukham that arises when you contact the object of your desire is also kshetra. The pain that comes to you when you contact the object that you hate, that is pain, no? That pain is also kshetra. The sukham is also kshetra. Dukkham is also kshetra. Sukham, dukkham. So you will then be enjoying both sukham, dukkham without allowing the sukham, dukkham to affect. That is the reason we study all this. Otherwise, why do you have to study all this? So, desire, hatred, pleasure, pain, and this complete assemblage in this context, which is the body, the total body, head to toe, that is also kshetra. And then the intelligence, chetana, the intelligence is also kshetra. Firmness, dhriti, determined mind, that is also kshetra. This is kshetra, briefly described. Briefly means what? Modification for anything. You can go on talking about everything. Because everything is essentially come out of these panchamaha bhutas. All this is kshetra. So now, in this verse, he talks about, earlier verse he said 24. Now he said 7. Put together 31 constituents of kshetra is given. So he says all this is kshetra briefly described with its modifications. So once you understand the basic is also kshetra, whatever comes out of that is kshetra. Now when kshetrajna plays in the kshetra, what arises? Sukham, dukkham. Desire, hatred, and then sukham, dukkham. All this that arises in kshetrajna plays. That is also kshetra. But the problem is, you lose this knowledge and get involved. Quickly we get involved. So that is why it says, kshetrajnam chapi maam vedi, vedi sarva kshetresu bharata. All these are kshetras. There is only one kshetrajna.
Your soul, atma is the only thing which is not part of
it. All that is
everything else, which your day-to-day activity is part of kshetra.
Everything is kshetra. All that you can be objectively be aware of.
Awareness.
Anything that can be objectified is kshetra. Everything that can be objectified is kshetra. And I am the witness, sakshi, which is able to
see all this outside of me, and I am supporting all this, and from this everything comes, the intelligence, the discriminating capacity, the firmness, the pleasure, pain, everything. And when all this comes, I think it's all my glory. It's not this ego, it is the Kshetrajna functioning. Otherwise they are per se what? Jada. They don't have life per se. We have before seen the modifications of desire. The desire is fulfilled, you develop greed and fear. Fear of losing what you have fulfilled. Greed to accumulate more of what you have fulfilled. And the desire is obstructed, anger. Those who have more than you have jealousy. Those who have less than you, arrogance. All these modifications you can add to the list. All these are what?
Same thing,
Kshetra. Maya. Kshetra. Kshetra. I am not the Kshetra, I am the Kshetrajna. This is the same Kshetrajna playing in dull-headed. Same Kshetrajna playing in the intelligent. Same Kshetrajna playing in the powerful, not powerful. All these are Kshetra. Why give importance to Kshetra? Bhagavan who is playing in all the Kshetras, we have the choice to see the Kshetrajna or to be lost in the Kshetra. But invariably we are lost in the Kshetra. So he has already said, one who knows the difference between Kshetra and Kshetrajna, that is knowledge. So the idea of studying Gita is what? To be able to gain this objectivity. This is what the king of Persia did. When he was going through wealth, he said, what is wealth? Even this shall pass away. When he was experiencing pleasure with all his friends, he says, what is pleasure? Pleasure comes not to stay, even this shall pass away. Then, in reference to his wife, he says, mortal flesh must come to clay, even this shall pass away. And with reference to pain, pain is hard to bear, he cried, but with day by day, even this shall, but with patience day by day, even this shall pass away. Pain also comes and goes. Meaning what? You are standing and watching all those coming and going. So all those are kshetras. Right? And then fame. Everybody is praising him. They have built a huge statue for him. He says, what is fame? Fame is but a slow decay, even this shall pass away. And then, death. Now what is death, he says? Then he understands, even this shall pass away. So I am just entering, coming out, entering, coming out. But when I enter, when I don't have this knowledge, I get lost. If you have this knowledge, you will be able to enter and come out. If you do not have this knowledge, you will enter and be stuck. Now from verse number 8, he gives few qualities. 20 qualities of a jnani. Once you know the difference between kshetra and kshetrajna, what are the qualities of a jnani? You would have seen the similar kind of qualities when we studied Bhakta also. So it's not the different qualities you will have. Bhakta and Jnani. There when he says Bhakta, he is talking about Jnani Bhakta. So he is giving few more qualities. Especially when you have the ability to analyze and go beyond the Kshetra and identify with Kshetrajna through your other sadhanas, you with all this knowledge, the most important quality trait should be there. That is the quality with which he starts the qualities of a jnana. Let's continue.
Amanitvam adambitvam, Ahimsa kshanti rajavam, Acharyopasanam shaucham, Sairyam atma vinigraha, Amanitvam adambitvam, Ahimsa kshanti rajavam, Acharyopasanam shaucham, Sairyamatma vinigraha. So when the knowledge goes in, if it is not digested knowledge, what happens? It burdens you. If it's knowledge that is digested, then what happens? It makes you light. You carry some food to the office. It's heavy. But the same food when you have eaten and digested, you feel light. So when the knowledge has not been converted into wisdom, you will have arrogance. But the same knowledge, when it is digested, you will be humble. So humility is one of the most important qualities of a person with knowledge. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmane. He said that in 18th verse of chapter 5. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne. You will have both, as a Brahmana, both the Vidya, knowledge, and Vinaya, the humility. So this is the same thing he is saying, Amanitvam. Mana means pride. Amanitvam means no pride. Now when you analyze this pride, it is madness, you know. So humility means having no pride. Pride you develop because of ignorance. When you sit and see, everybody has some, you know, talent or the other. What is there to be proud about? Everybody is equally talented. Something or the other is given to everybody. So therefore you don't develop that extra focus on yourself. No, the exaggerated value is not missed. So that's why you have to sit and do little bit of analysis. And you do little bit of analysis, you know, to say that I am little better than others because I know. I have so many things which you don't know. And without so many people you cannot function. So how is it possible? So humility, amanitvam. First quality of us, the mana is gone. That individual separate from the total feeling, little exaggeration, that is not there. Then adambitvam, unpretentiousness. See, when the knowledge comes, you know your worth. You sit down and do a little bit of analysis about yourself. You know yourself best, no? Can anybody else know better than you about yourself? You know. So when you analyze, you have estimated your value. And you, with knowledge, identify with the permanent aspect. And there is no need for you to pretend to put on a show. This is a big weakness from which everybody suffers. Isn't it? Most of us have this problem. We suffer with this. Somehow you pretend. This is the cause of great stress. Whenever you stay in your level, there is no stress. The moment you pretend, at the financial level people do this, they borrow and live at that level, there is stress. If you live at your level, there is no stress. If you can understand the financial level, project it at every level. Why do you want to put yourself at a higher pedestal? You know? When you understand that even being small has a role in the big universe, then why would you want to show yourself as bigger?
This is a lack of self-esteem. As a result of that, you need to pretend to show that you are, to be able to accept yourself even at a very small level is important. Like in the poem, the best poem to convey this is that mountain and the squirrel. When the mountain is talking too much, he's saying, you know, I'm big and all that. The squirrel says, no doubt you're big, but I also make a small, pretty squirrel track. It's, you don't, no doubt you're really large, but it is not very bad to be small. In other words, it's showing the self-esteem. If I cannot carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. That's what the poem says. Basically, the squirrel is telling the mountain. All sorts of things and weather must be taken in together to make up a ear and a spear. Talents differ. All is well and wisely put. If I cannot carry forest on my back, neither can you crack a nut. Okay, you are carrying big forest on your back. I am also contributing to this universe. I may be small, that's okay. But this small is also having a role to play in this big universe. In that sense, I understand my importance. When I emphasize on my importance and completely push your importance to oblivion, that is lack of humility. Please understand the difference. When I understand my importance and I understand the importance of others as well, and that is not ego. And I don't have to pretend to anybody beyond my level. I have the self-esteem now, the self-respect. So why should I have to pretend? If you out of ignorance only identify with my external things, then you may not respect me, but that's your problem. You know, when Swami Vivekananda went abroad, he was asked, why are you wearing these clothes and roaming around in our country? Why don't you wear clothes like us only here? He said, in your country, a man is judged by his clothes. Where I come from, man is judged by his character. Okay. So, that's all he said. He didn't say anything else. In your country, a man is judged by the clothes he wears. Where I come from, a man is judged by his character. Therefore, I don't have any need to pretend to somebody else. Because I have that self-respect, I have that self-esteem. So, in practical sense, you got to do the analysis and stick to your level. Understand that is also needed in the truth. A poet went to his friend's house in the evening and knocked at the door. And the friend from inside asked, who is it? A poet from outside said, an outstanding poet is standing up.
An
outstanding poet is standing out. Now, is it ego?
Self-esteem.
Why is it not ego?
He said, an, not like not the.
He didn't say, the outstanding poet. If he said, the, then he is the only one. He said, an outstanding poet. He knows his level. He is good in writing poetry. See, you must understand your importance.
But when that...
So this is the difference, you know, when you gain the knowledge, you know that you have these talents. Are you with me? You know that. But that doesn't mean you will put down others. You know that you cannot live without others' contribution as well. Everybody's contribution is equally important. Knowing that this is where I stand and gaining respect for that, respecting yourself for that, is what the knowledge gives you, that you don't pretend. Amanitvam, agambitvam.
Then ahimsa. Now this is another quality that very often misunderstood. Ahimsa. Himsa means violence, injury. You cause injury. It's not physical injury that is being caused that is so much of importance given here. It is the mental injury. You have the capacity not to hurt anybody.
Intention.
Yeah, intention. You see, at the physical level, when certain things has to be done, you do. But there is no personal motive there to hurt anybody. You understand? That is the main point. Like that is exactly what Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna has not been told by Sri Krishna that you... See, Sri Krishna is the one who is giving this knowledge. Where he is saying ahimsa. Why would then he tell? Kill? It seems contradictory, isn't it? On one side he is telling Arjuna kill him. On the other side he is saying ahimsa. What is he trying to say here? Himsa comes the moment ego is there. I want to hurt others because I am separate from others and therefore I have insecurity to protect myself from others who I believe may cause some damage to me. I can hurt them. Are you with me? But when I and you are same, when there is no otherness, when there is only oneness, then what happens? Would you hurt? But in the same body which you have oneness, but when you see some growth is there, what do?
Remove it.
So that removal of growth is out of love for yourself. That is not himsa. So himsa is not the physical himsa that he is talking about. Are you with me? Underlying that mana is not there, that ego is not there. As a result of that, there is no desire to hurt any being. There is absolutely no desire to hurt any being. This is called ahimsa. Otherwise, in the name of ahimsa, many people are extremely passive, not to hurt other beings. But in being passive, you allow them to destroy them. Are you with me? So you will understand this quality of ahimsa correctly. In the sense, when you have no choice to even retaliate, if you say I am practicing ahimsa, does it make any sense? Somebody is more powerful than you and he is doing all atrocity. You do not have the backbone to stand up against. And then you say I am practicing ahimsa. Ahimsa is not a weakness. It's a strong quality. So he says, amanitvam adam vitvam ahimsa kshanti. Kshanti, forgiveness. In this context I've said one quotation. What is that? Forgiveness is the fragrance a violet releases as the foot crushes it. When the foot is crushing the violet, violet, what is the violet doing? It's giving out fragrance. Father, forgive them. They know not what they are doing. What is that they don't know?
Then they're crushing something or they're hurting someone or injuring someone or
themselves. Also.
They are not understanding that they are hurting themselves. That is why he says they know not. They very well know that they are hurting Jesus. They want to hurt him. Isn't it? I mean, if they are doing this to Jesus, they want to hurt Jesus, no?
Yeah.
So why does he say that they do not? They know that they are hurting Jesus. What they don't know is they are hurting themselves. So automatically you will have forgiveness towards these ignorant people. Huh? So when a person who has knowledge, how will he will have the entire picture now. In the entire picture he will be forgiving. Forgiveness is nothing but the giving at the mental level. It's giving at the mental level. Looking at the person, maybe, you know, he's at, because of this level, he's behaving well. So, that is forgiveness. Next. Acharya Upasanam. Sorry, before that he said Arjav. Arjav means straightforward. Straightforward.
Straightforward.
What you think is what you speak is what you do. People who, they will say something, they will think inside something and they'll do exactly opposite. Like some of these, I think in India you can say pretty much it's not only auto rickshaw, bus, car, everything that goes on the road, what they do is, they put the indicator on the left
and go to the right.
And they will go right. And when they are about to turn right, they may decide to go straight also. Anything is possible. Just because one fellow has put an indicator saying he is going on the left, doesn't mean he is for sure going to turn left. This is the problem.
Big one.
So, whereas here, in the case of a person who has got the knowledge, upright. See, it's the mind which is to safeguard the ego, does all these things, teda-meda. Being straightforward is the courage. And it's actually very simple, you sleep peacefully. When you talk straight, then you don't have to remember what all you have said. If you keep so much lies, then you have to remember everything. Whom you said what? Extremely confusing. So a simple life leads uprightness. In thought, word and deed, he meticulously follows the truth. Then Acharya Upasana. Acharya Upasana, it's a very very interesting word, Acharya. Acharya means?
Guru.
Acharati iti Acharya. Acharya means one who walks.
One who walks.
One who lives. Chara means walk. One who lives the knowledge is Acharya, not one who speaks. To the extent you live that knowledge, you are Acharya. So Upasana. Upasana means? Upasana. Upasana means what? Sitting near. Sitting near means being closer to the Guru. Acharya Upasana. Why being closer to the Guru?
Otherwise you'll have ego.
It's
only a lot of grey of
self. Knowledge.
Yeah, you need the grace of externally God, because God is your Guru. Guru is your medium too. Otherwise you will get ahankar that you are becoming jnani or you are becoming better.
So seva is not demanded by the Guru, remember. But Guru seva gives you that right mental attitude to receive the knowledge from
him. Knowledge.
Number one. And number two, also remember this knowledge is not information. Information you can won't receive nowadays in the computer. You can sit in the class and before coming to the class you can put download. By the time you go back, information is downloaded. Isn't it? Especially with all this fast internet and computers. Downloads like this. If you want to download, you can download like this. But what is this being close to Guru? Acharya Upasana, because this knowledge is nothing but a transformation, not information. The transformation comes when you are in the presence of the Guru. You mean that energy gets transformed from him to you when you sit emptying yourself. When you are full, then nothing happens. When you are empty, you sit there, the energy gets transformed into you. So Acharya Upasana is one of the most important qualities of a jnani. One who aspires to gain the knowledge, he must have this quality. Acharya Upasana. So always focusing on living, not preaching. Acharya Upasana. Chara means walk. Feet. It's a sign of humility, devotion and emphasis on living rather than preaching. Transformation rather than information. So in the presence of the Guru, the way he conducts himself, the way the Guru lives the life, the purity comes on him. That's why in olden days they emphasized on Gurukul. See, for information you don't need all that. You can do online study.
Indirectly imbibing.
Online study is more than enough if you want to do information. Especially now, you know. You have to drive all the way from there and come. No need, sit down, Skype class. You can do. Isn't it? But if you want transformation, the emphasis goes in living. That's why children were sent to Gurukul at first. There they saw the Guru, they learned quite a bit of it. So that is what he is saying, Acharya Upasana. Shaucham. Shaucham means purity. He goes on repeating this Shaucham I don't know how many times. Purity, purity, purity. Because again, you see, knowledge is not acquiring knowledge. If you acquire knowledge without digestion, you will have an intellectual diarrhea. So the idea is to acquire and digest it. Are you with me? So when will you get that? When you purify yourself. The purity is not there. The knowledge doesn't get digested. Therefore the importance of saucham is given. Like Jesus Christ says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only in the purified mind does the Atma reflect. Therefore he says saucham. So first thing is external purity. At least be aware of it. There is some dirt outside. You are not even aware of it. Just be aware of the dirt. It's probably not possible to be 100% clean. But at least be aware now. Being aware of dirt. If you are not aware of the external dirt, how are you going to become aware of the internal dirt, the desires? And where will there be an effort in you to overcome those desires? Spirituality is intensifying the awareness. Isn't it? Not dull the awareness with more information. What is happening in the world today in the name of knowledge is that dulling the awareness with more information. So therefore he says purity and then sthairyam, sthairyam, steadfastness, being steadfast in the pursuit of wisdom. That's a very important quality of a jnani. Till I get there, everything that will help me to get there and pursue with determination. Because mind comes and tries to take you away from it. That's okay. One day if I don't do, kya farak padta hai? You understand? So sthairyam. And then atma vinigraha. This is a very beautiful quality. Atma vinigraha means self-control. Atma here means the self, the little self. Vinigraha means have perfect control over the senses. So what is the quality of a jnani he is talking about? Is he saying one of the next weekly class? Nothing like that. He didn't talk about weekly class. He didn't talk about yearly big lecture. Thousands of people should be attending those lectures. Kuch nahi. Huh? Future will be told by him, is he saying? Jnani, quality will be, he should say the future. He is not saying all these things. All he is saying is what? Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, and now Atmanigraha. What is the proof that you have knowledge? You have control over your senses and mind.
knowledgeable person has perfect control over his senses and mind. And one who has control over his senses and mind can only have control over anybody else. That's why we say the most important thing in management is self-management. This is the knowledge that is to be given to all the CEOs. If you are not a CEO of your own mind, these are a lot of companies also go berserk. Somewhere I read that when Steve Jobs started the company and then he had to leave and then he again came back. When he came back, first thing you know what he did? The company had diversified into many other products. He said, pursue all this. Again, focus. Mind, you know, if you leave it to its dictation, it will go in all directions. The moment you have control of your mind, you have focus. And fellow said, Baba, listen, why are we doing all this? Let's get back to our main thing. Control of your mind. He's talking about knowledge. When he's talking about knowledge, he's not talking about information at all. He's talking about control. You must be able to see this. Do you have control of your senses? Does it contact what it's good for it to contact, and does it keep away from what is not good? If you remember in the 4th chapter we studied 12 yajñas, out of that 2 yajñas I said Vishaya Bhoga Yajna and Dhamma Yajna. Dhamma Yajna is what? Controlling your mind from contacting what it should not contact. Vishaya Bhoga Yajna is allowing your senses to contact what it should contact. So Dhamma Yajna is controlling your senses from what it should not contact. Vishaya Bhoga Yajna is getting your senses to contact what it should contact, how much it should contact, when it should contact. So sense control is not sense denial. Sense control is practicing right contact. Discriminated contact. A contact underlined by higher vision, higher purpose. So all this and little more, he'll give few more qualities. So we see humility, unpretentiousness, harmlessness, forgiveness, uprightness, service of the preceptor, purity, steadfastness, self-control. Totally 9 qualities out of 20 qualities in this verse. Next.
इंद्रियाटेषु वैराग्यम् इंद्रियाटेषु वैराग्यम् अनहंकार एव च अनहंकार एव च जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि दुःख दोषानुदर्शनम् दुःख दोषानुदर्शनम् इंद्रियाटेषु वैराग्यम् अनहंकार एव च जन्म मृत्यु जरा व्याधि दुःख दोषानुदर्शनम् डिस्पैशन टुवर्ड्स सेंस ऑब्जेक्ट्स इंद्रियार्थेषु वैराग्यम् वैराग्यम् इज वन ऑफ द मोस्ट इंपॉर्टेंट क्वालिटीज ऑफ अ ज्ञानी लाइक वी सेड विद्या विनय अनदर क्वालिटी मेंशन्ड इज विवेक एंड वैराग्यम् विवेक मीन्स डिस्क्रिमिनेशन व्हेन यू हैव नॉलेज You clearly have the knowledge of the higher and you are able to distinguish it from the lower. A lower is something that passing and fleeting. It cannot give you that inner happiness that you are looking for. The highest happiness that you are looking for cannot be got from the external world. As a result of that, you remain dispassionate. Your passion is with reference to the higher. Remember, dispassion comes when there is passion for the higher. When you gain the knowledge of the higher, you become detached from the lower. Vairagya. Vairagya is not running away from the contact. Vairagya is placing the right value for the contact. Again, the example is king of Persia. He had a vairagya. He contacted friends, he had vairagya. He contacted wealth, he had vairagya. He contacted opposite sex, he had vairagya. He contacted fame, he had vairagya. He contacted fame, he had vairagya. Vairagya with reference to all. There is no raga. There is no attachment whatsoever. That is called vairagya. Indri Ateshu Vairagya. So when you see that they may give some pleasure as it were, but they are temporary passing. They turn into sorrow. So why attach myself to that? So he doesn't get attached to it. Next, anahankar. He is having no ego whatsoever. Ego manifests as three. I am the doer. I alone exist. I am supreme. Like I said, this no exists, continue to exist, only as long as the sun rises. The moment sun rises, will the snow continue to exist? It will melt. So the moment you sit down and scrutinize, when you say, I am the doer, doesn't make any sense. You are connecting this class because your guru taught you, his guru taught him, his guru taught him, and your parents took care of you, society took care of you, so many people contributed, your English teacher taught you English, you know, like that. There are millions of people who have contributed to say that I am doing this. Doesn't make any sense. So when the sun comes, snow melts. The ego, I am the doer, melts the moment knowledge comes. The inner sun, the knowledge, vidya arises. I am the doer, the attitude will not be there. And I alone exist. Everybody else is there in this universe to do service to me. I am very important. I am the most important one. Like I said, ego wants to be the dead body in the house where is death. Because everybody's attention is there. Ego, somehow it wants attention. Everybody must be thinking about
it. I don't know what is everyone's reaction. Who's feeling very bad?
I'm wondering how you can be that obsessed to want attention. Like you're in the okay.
It's always, you know, something negative happens, you want to use that to draw attention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Accused, so sad. Everything is happening only to me. Last 2 years have been really terrible.
No one came.
Yes. If you continue like this, it will be worse. But,
nobody came to me.
Nobody?
Nobody came. The last 2 years are very bad. Yes. And nobody came.
All this he doesn't have. And not, when you gain the knowledge there, everybody is equally important. What is there for you to be feeling supreme or inferior? Nothing of the sort. Then, now this is another beautiful quality. So dispassion towards sense objects, absence of egoism, then he says, Janma, Mrityu, Jara, Vyadi, Dukkha, Dosha, Anudarshana. It's a beautiful construction. You must try to remember this construction, what he is giving here. Janma means what? Birth. Mrityu means?
Death.
Janma, Mrityu. Jara, old age. Vyadi, disease. Disease.
Dukkha.
Dukkha is sorrow that comes from all this. Then all these metamorphic changes involves effort. Growth is always painful now. And therefore he says birth, growth, disease, decay, death, everything is ridden with sorrow. You must have that perception and stand apart and watch. A knowledgeable person is able to be objective to birth and birthday. Okay, so to the birth, to the growth, to the disease, you should be able to be objective for that also. So it's a beautiful construction, janma, birth. We get excited, death, immediately dejection. Stand apart and watch both of them equally. Because the other side of birth is death. Other side of death is birth. Now, you cannot take only one side all the time. So janma, mrityu, jara, old age. A lot of people get thought of that old age, you know. It's frightening. Somebody by chance calls you uncle, you're finished. Auntie? Oh my God. You feel like, oh, I'm getting old. You know, so that janma, mrityu, jara, then comes vyadhi. So many vyadhis are there, and new vyadhi. They keep on, you know, like every time there's a cyclone, they give one name. Then to you finished.
Because you think you have half the symptoms.
Yeah, because symptoms, most of them are common.
Yeah.
I think the doctor, the first thing you go to them and say, please don't look after that. If you really want to come to me, just...
Exactly.
Yeah, you Google, you're finished.
But then we also, creatures of habit, so we do Google, even if the doctor says don't Google, we will check out.
Never Google. I don't Google.
But that's too much.
You get confused. We have that immediate picture only. We don't get the whole picture. Now that doesn't mean you go to somebody and then Chadma Mrityu Jara Vyadhi Dukha Dosha Anand
Shara.
You know, you don't
say what is the person you are going to die only, so we have to get all that. But yeah. You know, you're going to die, be happy, you get all the attention.
Somebody sent me that very interesting I don't know what you call the video or I don't know what you call that in the WhatsApp. A small baby's picture, and you click on that and the picture slowly changes till she dies.
The whole
face changes. And you wonder whether is this the same lady? The same baby has become this girl and this girl, this lady and this old lady. Absolutely very interesting computerized picture they have. This vision you get, janma, the whole thing, entire picture, you capture the whole thing entirely, then you remain balanced enough. So it's one of the most beautiful constructions, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. These are all janma, means there has to be mrityu. Jara, disease will come, you know, little bit you fall, that's it, finished. You will be needing an operation. You know, something or the other. You cannot help it.
How is this part of egoism?
Which is part of egoism?
This
is not part of egoism, this is another quality.
Okay. Oh, this is the next quality.
Yeah. So here he is giving three. Vairagya, Indriyateshu Vairagya, Anahankaram, Janma Mrityu, Jara Vyadhi, Dukkha Dosha Anudarshana. All this gives you dukkha. You don't know. Janma is basically what? Going to become dukkha. Birth of the new, death of the
old. And this is constant, continues to change. So you must be able to face the change gracefully. And always identify the changeless and face the change. So that the change doesn't affect it. So he says, Janma. This Jnani has that ability.
Guruji, why perception of pain? Pain, pleasure, both, no? Like it's the same. Why only pain? Why perception of pain? Because birth, it, joy and
when
pain
Janma
is
comes
the same.
And when it moves away, it's pain, na?
Agreed. Huh? But then, so it's pain and pleasure which you view in a stable manner.
He's only putting it in the construction form. But if you start it, only pain you'll be objective.
Yeah.
In fact, with pleasure you have to be more objective.
In both of them they will have pleasure and pain, but you have to be...
Basically what he's trying to say here is, life is this metamorphic changes, in this metamorphic changes, sorrow comes. When the old thing changes, sorrow comes. When sorrow comes, you should be able to see it objectively. That's what he's saying.
Because normally when the pleasure is there, you have to be more aware, you get lost in it. And
that
pain,
also
you think still more about God and you know, your thoughts do go a little higher.
But your perception for pain and pleasure, again, you both in both you have to detach, yeah, be aware. Yeah. That it's not one side, it's all a big picture. So it's coming, going, coming, going.
Yeah.
Not get affected by it. True.
Also he is saying to be able to see the dukkha in this.
See the dukkha even in the birth. That
yes.
You know that even in birth, I mean
yeah.
You could have celebration but...
See, in other words, that dukkha is hiding in this.
Hmm.
You see that. When you see that,
you will
not get carried away by it.
Yeah.
So that Buddha says, no, life is full of pain and sorrow. Therefore, you got to be detached from the body, mind, intellect. Otherwise the pain and sorrow will affect you. That's exactly what he said. Let's conclude. Om. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakriti Swabhava Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami.
Thank you.
Thank you.